Hey friends, we have something exciting to tell you. Kristen and I practiced this intro, so here it comes. We're here with
Liana Nielsen.
We can do it again for you, ready?
Liana Nielsen.
We don't know why we found that funny, but we did.
And but you know what?
Later, life is for joy.
Later today, you guys, you're going to be not listening to this podcast, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're going to go,
Liana Nielsen.
I think I always want that to be my intro.
Actually, you're going to have like a, when your phone rings, it's going to be our voices doing that.
Liana Nielsen.
Those of you who have attended our CREATE classes in New York may know Liana because she's an active member of our community here in New York. But what you may not know is not only is she beautiful, not only is she an extraordinarily talented actress, but she also does a little something that we're very fascinated about. And so we wanted her to come and tell us all about it. So welcome, Liana
Nielsen.
Thank you so much for having me.
For our friends, because you'll be able to describe it more eloquently than me, can you tell us what this special magic thing that you are doing is?
So I am an integrative nutrition health coach. What does that mean?
What does it mean?
It's somewhere in between a nutritionist and a life coach. And where it's a little bit different is as a health coach, I look at the big picture, I look at your whole life, and we understand that health just isn't in the bubble of calories and exercise, but sleep and stress and the quality of your relationships and your purpose here on this planet all go into how happy and healthy you are. So we look at everything and we don't just put people on diets.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you get the kind of the benefit of a fancy diet while you also get to heal your life.
Absolutely. Well, that's the cool thing, and that's where people get a little bit tricked, because I feel like I have a couple personal trainers who will refer clients to me, and it's like the way in is through nutrition, but I essentially teach people how to listen to their bodies. Mm. And as you know, your intuition and your creativity come out of the same part of your brain, so the more, especially with artists, the more you understand how to learn to listen to your body, the more you're really listening to whatever your higher calling is.
Right. Well, I think there's always this thing of that there's this great wisdom inside of us. And not only does it know how we're supposed to eat, it also knows what our relationships are supposed to look like. It also knows what our purpose on the planet is. And it knows the quickest way to get us there. But something that's been done since we were little children has been taught how not to listen and trust our own innate wisdom, our knowingness, and to like look in the world for those answers, which will keep us always depleted and burnt out and like kind of chasing a tail that doesn't exist.
Absolutely. And it's really, it's a nice way to actually in for a lot of people who maybe don't listen to themselves as well, because food gives you really direct feedback. If you're lactose intolerant and you're eating cheese, you're going to get diarrhea or be constipated. That's a very loud signal. And the neat thing is about when people start to really learn and tune in and listen to their bodies, then they start to trust themselves more. And they start to trust that inner voice, that inner knowing. And then you start to see shifts everywhere else, whether it's relationships or career. And it's this really beautiful thing for me to get to sit and witness and support. So I absolutely adore doing it.
Well, you talk about the inner bugs and how we have bugs inside.
Yes.
I love the inner bugs.
Yes. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, so I'm happy to talk about it. So,
you all think you hate bugs, but wait.
No, you love bugs, you want to have bugs. So basically, we are sort of this big meat suit that is a home for thousands of this bacteria that lives in our mouths, in our skin, and most of it's in our gut. And the cool thing about your microbiome is if you have the right bugs, they will keep you healthy and happy and clear-headed. Your immune system will function properly. Your metabolism will be fast. It'll be easy to sort of crave and eat the right things that are really good for your body. It'll be very easy to maintain the proper weight, to sleep, to stay healthy. And all we have to do is eat the right way and, you know, exercise a little and not stress too much and be around people we love.
And easy, right? Keep the bugs happy.
Keep those bugs happy.
Tell us how you, because I've always known you as an amazing actress. Tell us how you found your way into this world.
So 5 or 6 years ago, the wheels sort of came off for me health-wise. And I was having a lot of crazy things happening from, I'd gained some weight around my midsection that wouldn't go away regardless of what I was doing. My hair was falling out. I developed melasma, which is hyperpigmentation spots all over my face. I became allergic to all raw fruits, vegetables, and nuts. So every time I ate that, my mouth would sort of get itchy, or my tongue or my throat. And I was depressed and anxious and just feeling like flat all the time. And it was really crazy because I was seeing a doctor for each one of those certain things, and everyone was trying to prescribe me a pill or a cream, or, you know, I saw an allergist and he was like, you know, you just can't eat raw fruits and vegetables anymore ever again. And I was like, that just can't be right. And finally, I started noticing blood in my stools when I was going to the bathroom. And I initially, when I saw it, went to a doctor and she was like, misdiagnosed me as having hemorrhoids, and she was like, basically, don't worry about it. And then saw that I was taking probiotics and was like, why do you do that? Like, I don't see how that's healthy. Like, you don't necessarily need to do that. And they were expensive, and I'm in my 20s, and I'm an actor, so I was like, I guess I'll stop taking probiotics. And then after that, I went and saw a nutritionist because I was like, I must be doing something wrong. I have this weird weight around my body. I was never heavy. Like, what is this? She looked at my diet and she was like, you're eating far too many vegetables. You need to eat more grains. So I was like, okay. So I started eating more grains. And with grains, they're always going to be processed because, let's face it, you don't look at a field of wheat and your mouth doesn't start watering. We're not supposed to eat raw grains. And I mean, arguably, some people shouldn't be eating grains at all, but that's another story. So I started doing that, and it didn't take long for my gut to get way worse, and I was bleeding all the time.
Whoa.
And it was really scary, and I, you know, I'm late night Googling colon cancer and trying to figure out what's going on. And finally, I get a second opinion. I get a colonoscopy, which, not the most pleasant experience. And the doctor sits me down, and she's like, you know, your test results are inconclusive. We're not sure what it is. It's definitely going to be an autoimmune disease at some point. So I'd like you to come back in a year when this disease has fully expressed itself, and then we'll put you on steroids for the rest of your life.
That's horrible.
So basically, wait for yourself to get sicker, and then we'll treat you.
Yes. And then the steroids, she's showing me, the symptoms are worse than what's going on in my body. They're very scary. And she was like, yeah, this will be your life. You'll wait till you get worse. This will be your life forever.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, absolutely not. And this is in New York City. This is like a specialist. And I get a second opinion, and the doctor's like, well, these tests are inconclusive. I want to get you another colonoscopy. And I was like, then and there. I was like, nope. And I want to put you on steroids now. And I was like, you just admitted that you don't know what's wrong with me, and you want to put me on very serious medication. Like, there's got to be a better way. So I just took my, you know, stack of test results home, and I just started Googling everything on the page and being like, what does this mean? What does this mean? It led me to inflammation. And inflammation is really interesting because we need some degree of it in our body because that it's sort of our body's response to foreign viruses and bacteria, or if you sprain your ankle, any of that. We need some degree of inflammation to keep us healthy. But when you have too much inflammation, your body is attacking itself. Mm. And the things that turn inflammation on are sort of microbial invasions, injuries, and diet. Mm. So here I was eating things, and I was very lucky to grow up in the woods of Maine, ironically enough, on a dirt road called Hollywood Boulevard.
Some things are meant to be.
Right? With a bunch of hippies eating organic food from our neighbor's garden, you know, running around barefoot. Like, very healthy childhood. Like, not eating a ton of processed foods. Like, some here and there, but never had any issues. And slowly, and when I look back now and see college and, you know, from 18 to, like, 25, 26, just incorporating more processed foods just because I'm out in the world and that's what's available, and I'm living in New York and hustling and running around. So eating more processed grains, more processed sugar, drinking more alcohol, drinking more caffeine, having more stress, my body started to deteriorate. And here I was eating vegetable, you know, eating a healthy standard American diet. So more wheat than I probably normally would have. And my body started to fall apart. And then I went and saw that nutritionist who was like, you need to eat a lot more grains. So I started doing that. And little did I know, I was gluten intolerant, which now so many people are because of hybridization and GMOs and the fact that wheat looks very different than it did 50 and 100 years ago. So all of these people are having responses to gluten now because our bodies don't recognize it. And what happens with a lot of processed grains, especially gluten, is we eat it and it turns on our inflammation because our bodies don't recognize it as food.
Mm.
So that was happening to me. And what happens with gluten is very interesting because how it reacts in people's body is very different to your genetic makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So it can trigger, it triggers a lot of autoimmunity. So you, if you have that in your background, that can happen. It creates brain fog. It can create food obsessions. It's really interesting. But one of the most interesting things it does is it sort of breaks down the barrier function of our intestines and gives us leaky gut. So that had happened to me. So basically, I had holes in my intestines, and every time I ate something, undigested food particles would go into my bloodstream. And this is incredibly common. And what happens is, again, our autoimmunity turns on. Our body's like, we don't recognize this. What is this? So it starts to attack itself. So the reason I was having all these allergic reactions, because I was mostly eating fruits and vegetables, so that's where I was seeing the reaction, because it was undigested food particles just hanging around my bloodstream.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, how do I... The more I went down the rabbit hole of inflammation, the more I understood that, like, whoa, this is all under my control. Like, if I change my diet and I change my lifestyle, it seems like not only is this going to heal my gut, which is going to take care of the allergies, is going to probably take care of the weight, because weight gain is a side effect of inflammation, but is going to take care of the depression and anxiety. Because, and we know more now, but it's so interesting. And I always felt this because I was in and out of therapy for about 10 years, really trying to understand why, you know, up until I was 18, I was never depressed a day in my life. My parents aren't. It was never a thing. Why is this something I'm all of a sudden dealing with? And then people are trying to put me on medication. I'm like, no, this doesn't feel right. Here I am reading about inflammation. Depression is a side effect of inflammation.
Wow.
So here I am just needing to heal my gut, just needing to change what I'm eating. And it should, you know, heal. So I go down the rabbit hole of inflammation, and it leads me to learn all this stuff about the microbiome, which I blew my mind. I was so excited. And I found this book called The Microbiome Diet, and it was about rebuilding your microbiome. So I was like, well, I know my gut's a mess, so I definitely need to rebuild my microbiome. So it took about 4 months, and I had to take a lot of supplements, and I took out, you know, anything processed, sugar, gluten, dairy, no alcohol, no caffeine, kept it really simple, and was taking things like prebiotics, probiotics, things to sort of heal my gut lining. And within about 12 days, it was like I had this huge shift. And I woke up one morning, and it was like I wanted to jump out of bed, and colors felt like it literally, I looked and the colors seemed brighter. My body felt different. It felt like someone had just stripped 10 years off of my life, and I felt like myself again. And it was so interesting because it was so rapid, because I kind of had ripped the Band-Aid off.
So rapid, 12 days from going from a doctor saying, wait a year and get sicker, and then for the rest of your life be on medication that will then cause even worse side effects,
yes,
to 12 days.
12 days. And food tasted differently. I remember I like went into my kitchen, I peeled a clementine and I ate it, and it was like a gift from the heavens. It was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever tasted. And I remember I was living with my boyfriend at the time, and I was like, you have to try this. This is the most amazing thing I've ever had. And I gave him one. He was like, tastes like an orange. I was like, okay, so everything has really shifted. And the interesting thing was, within that 12 days, the depression, 10 years of on and off depression and anxiety disappeared and never came back.
Wow.
And obviously, a little bit of ups and downs. Depression is natural. It's a natural side effect of, like, we all will go through a little bit of it, and we should. But chronic depression like that, it just blew my mind. Here, no one was able to talk about this, and I was like, this was so simple. How is no one talking about this? And then the kicker for me was, I just knew I had been feeling flat, but it was like, my creativity came rushing back in, and I felt like myself again. And it was like, I was motivated. I was excited. I was auditioning so much better. And of course, stuff like this happens. I get a better agent. I'm getting better opportunities. I'm booking more work. And it was like this huge shift just with my whole body so incredibly quickly. And it blew me away how much it changed my brain. And knowing that I'm a little more sensitive and I'm to food and everything, and as an artist, I think a lot of us are, I'm like, how is no one talking to artists about this? And here I sit in classes and I hear so many people talk, or like writing classes, talk about writing about depression or anxiety. It runs rampant, I feel like, in our community. And I was like, how does no one know about this? Like, there's a better way. You don't have to be on medication. Like, look at your diet. There's so many things that can actually make you feel better. And it was interesting, as I went from feeling kind of, well, I didn't realize how poorly I felt, because you know you're born with this sort of like baseline of health that's sort of up here. And then over time, it gradually starts to come down because, you know, you're having more processed food, maybe you're having more caffeine, you're getting more stressed out, you're getting your heart broken, work is harder. And slowly over time, you don't realize how poorly you actually feel, just because you're so, especially living in some place like New York City, where it's easy to just go, 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 go. Mm. And for me, sort of taking that pause and resetting in, again, 12 days, how quickly I went from feeling pretty, what I thought was like, okay, to amazing, and then looking back being like, wow, I've been living my life at 50%. I had no idea. And it was so exciting. And then, of course, you start drawing people in that need what you have to offer. So here I am giving, like, unsolicited help
always.
And then being like, huh, this is something I'm really excited about. Maybe I should get some sort of certification. So I ended up going to the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. And the interesting thing about that was I looked into becoming an actual nutritionist and like going back and getting a more like proper certification. But a lot of the information was outdated. Mm. No one was talking about the microbiome. No one was talking about how lifestyle and stress affects your body. Everyone was talking about calories and like the standard American diet. And the stuff that this nutritionist had told me that had made my body sicker.
Right.
So it was hard to find a place that was actually up to date with, like, the correct science and really was committed to that. And that's where it's hard and confusing, and where I think people run into a lot of problems in this country is there's so much misinformation out there. And there's so many different studies out there about why dairy is good or dairy is bad or grains are good or grains are bad. And it's hard because you have to look for who's paying for those studies, because there's a lot of vested interest and a lot of money in processed foods and big farm factory raised cattle, all of that stuff. There's a lot of money there. There's not a lot of money in naturally figuring out how to be healthy. And the cool thing about our bodies is that they're so incredibly smart. And I teach a class at a conservatory for actors around nutrition. And I always talk about, We're animals. We're sort of like a bear. A bear, when it gets sick, it does not go to the bear hospital. There's no such thing. It just sleeps more and drinks more water and sort of just listens to its body. Our bodies are exactly the same way. When we give it the space and the right fuel and the right environment, it wants to be happy. It wants to be healthy. It wants to be fit and vibrant. So trust that.
We always talk and create about how, like, the universe is self-correcting, how the body's natural way is to heal itself if we just don't get in the way. And it makes me think of, like, in the energetic anatomy, in the chakra system, the third chakra is all about digestion, and it's also all about our confidence and our strength of, like, knowing what's ours, knowing what isn't, keeping what works, leaving what doesn't. And that's how we develop that autonomy with the world of, like, knowing who we really are. And then the root chakra is, its function is elimination. So it's like when we then know who we are and we know that something isn't for us, we have no problem letting it go and making space for whether it's new knowledge or a new relationship or new whatever. And the thing that's in between those two is our creative center, the second chakra. So it's like if digestion and elimination are not working in harmony, then that middle space of your creativity, your emotions, that center of union with your purpose on this planet is going to malfunction under the pressure between those two things. And it feels like the microbiome is almost like where the second chakra would be, being like, oh, we just keep the bugs happy and playing, and then you get to just feel good in the world, you know?
I mean, that was 100% my experience. Absolutely. Like, once I started taking care of that stuff, it was like, there it was for me. There was my confidence. There was my, I just felt like, oh my God, here I am. I'm back. Who is that other person? I don't know. But we can easily get away from ourselves. And that's why I talk a lot about, you know, stimulants. Things like sugar and gluten and dairy and coffee and alcohol are easy ways to slowly get away from yourself and stop listening to, you know, your inner guide, whatever you want to call it. It's so, and easier to kind of end up in your head space. And depending on your specific body type, and I very much preach the idea of bioindividuality, which is the idea that everyone's different. So you are the only one who really knows what you need to be your happiest, healthiest selves. So it's your job to figure that out. And again, culturally, we're not taught that. You know, there's no emphasis on listening to your intuition and listening to your body. Like, no, you know what I mean? It's like, here's the latest fad diet. Everyone do that. Mm. And while that may work for some people, or at least the one person who wrote the diet book, you know, it's hard to let that, to not ignore all of that stuff, especially in an industry like ours where so much emphasis is put on the outside.
Yeah.
So when someone comes to you, you were saying that you do an inventory not only of what they eat, but also of everything that's going on in their life.
Yeah. My favorite thing that I took from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition is this concept of primary foods and secondary foods. So your primary foods are your relationships, your career, your spirituality, and your exercise. And the idea, and your secondary foods are anything you eat, alcohol, drugs, anything you physically consume. And the idea is that if one of your primary foods is out of balance, it tends to manifest itself as a secondary food craving.
Ooh, like when you break up and you want the ice cream.
Exactly. Or stress. A lot of people have different responses to stress, and it's either eating or not eating or drinking too much, all of those things. So not only do I find out what you've been eating, like I sit down with someone, I really find out what their goals are, hear about what they normally eat, and then just try to take inventory of what, you know, are you happy at your job? What kind of relationship? Are you lonely? I mean, I don't know how many clients I have who are these like smart, beautiful, like energetic women who exercise and understand with a month or two of working together really what they should be eating. And they come to me and they're like, I can't get rid of the chocolate at night. I know it's not good for me. I can't get rid of the sweets. And it's like, well, are you lonely? It's like, yes. And I'm like, you know, that's where that's coming from. If you're getting laid a little bit more, like maybe put some emphasis. Maybe it's time to like put some emphasis on dating or finding a partner or spending time with people you love, because loneliness is one of the worst things for us physically and always, always the way. And women, I think, are just more sensitive to it.
Wow.
But 9 times out of 10, that's what it is. And it's like, no, just put yourself out there a little bit more. Spend time with people you love. And half the time, oh, I don't have those cravings anymore.
Wow.
So, yeah, I get people, and a lot of people, especially in New York, it's like work stress. And it's hard because you have to, a lot of people will stop working with me because they get to a point where they're faced with, oh, my God, I have to quit my job. And I'm never going to push that, but we get to a point where it's like, how can we get you in a place where you're a little bit less stressed out? We need you to make more time for yourself. We need you to be in a positive place. Like, this is what's affecting your weight. This is why you're stopped, whatever. And people are sort of like, well, I can't do anything about it. There's nothing else I can do about it. And again, of course, if you don't, I'm never going to pressure anyone into doing anything. It's like, well, I can't, you know what to be eating, but it's this bigger thing now.
Well, that's where you hit up against their limited beliefs,
yes.
Right? Or where there's
yes.
a lack of trust or a lack of belief in the goodness of the universe and that life is for them. So that's like, it's really funny how everything is one thing and it all points back. So it's like almost all of life always trying to teach us how to self-correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when we teach on something like prosperity as well, it'll be the same thing where, you know, you'll get to a certain point. Everyone wants more money. Everyone wants to be more abundant. When you start getting up against the core beliefs and the things that truly would have to change energetically or in your environment in order to make that space to actually receive that abundance, all of a sudden it's like, is there another way? Is there a pill I can take?
Right. Always. I know. What diet? What can I just stop eating? And I'm like, it's bigger than that.
It's bigger.
And it is funny because most of my clients actually end up on the opposite side of things. They come to me and they're like, whoa, I realized that, you know, I started eating this other way and I became more present. And it's like, I think I'm going to get a new job. And it's like, yay. And it's so rewarding. Or like, I remember I saved a marriage, and it was one of the, they both were coming to me to lose weight, and each of them were talking to me about what was going on with their relationship, and so much of it was like just encouraging them to communicate more and listening to themselves and listening to each other. And by the end of it, they're like, they were skinnier and happier. And it was so rewarding. And here, you know, because I do have coaching background around not all of that stuff, but general coaching background. So I can work with that kind of thing. But it's funny because sometimes people will just be like, wait, why am I talking to you about my marriage? I'm like, because that's the reason why you're binge eating and drinking too much wine every night. Yeah. Like, it's not because you don't know better.
And it's an interesting thing when we think about communication, and that the body is always in communication, but we sort of always think we know best, mm-hmm. or we're, you know, steamrolling ahead. When we can start getting into a deeper listening of the body, then I think in turn, what I can sometimes notice is then I get into deeper listening when I'm approaching a character, or in my relationships, there's a different kind of listening. And so I do think the communication all around, it starts inside, and it does move its way out in every capacity.
Well, and this is why I feel like it's such a great thing to teach actors, because you just, once you really get in tune and can listen to your body, you can't help but listen to, it's like, okay, the sides say, you know, she's angry, but if it feels intuitively like I want to say it this other way, and will make you make those choices that make you stand out, you know, and that make you make the choices that are authentically you, that are so human and beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, it, the listening just, again, it's so, it affects every part of your life. And I just can't stress enough how it's beautiful. It's like going, getting in the flow.
Oh, okay. So exciting. So tell me, like, if anybody who's listening right now is, I'm sure that everyone who's listening is going like, oh, that's exactly me. I hear all the things. So what is like a starting place for anybody who's noticing themselves in some of this burnout, mind fog, carrying a little extra weight, not feeling quite themselves, in any kind of anxiety, depression situation.
Eating too much chocolate.
What are some, like, starting places for things that they could start incorporating?
This is going to sound a little not diet-oriented, but I'm such a fan of journaling in morning pages. I get a lot of my clients doing that because that just helps you get in touch with everything that's going on. But take inventory, again, in your primary foods and seeing, you know, if something's out of balance. Again, creating balance is so important. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, sleep, especially to my New Yorkers. No one listens. No one wants to sleep in the city. Sleep, making sure you're getting at least 7 to 9 as much as possible, and they're the same. Because when you're not sleeping enough, it changes your hunger hormones, and it changes what you're craving. It changes how much you eat. It changes what you eat. So that's a really good starting off point. It also can trigger things like depression. If you don't sleep enough, depression can be a side effect of that. Anxiety can be a side effect of that. Mm. And then again, when you're not sleeping enough, you want more caffeine or you want more sugar because your body's smart and it's like, ooh, this is cheap, quick energy. And then again, if you're more sensitive, or you're more prone to getting nervous or being anxious, you drink coffee. That's total. I mean, I don't know how many people I've done this, but I had a cup of coffee before an audition and just talked my way out of it. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm up here and I'm not grounded and I'm not connected because I'm too jazzed up. So looking, again, sleep is incredibly important. And as far as food goes, trying to eat as much real food as possible. And when I say real food, I mean, you know, things that were recently in the ground, that do not have a lot of ingredients, that do not have a barcode, that do not have an ingredients list, you know, vegetable, whole foods, good fats. And as far as everyone's concerned, sort of dark leafy greens are at the top, and as much as possible, eating your greens with every meal, we love that. Underneath that, we have our colorful and cruciferous veggies. Both of those are amazing, really good food for our bugs, keeps our bugs happy. Under that, we want good fat. It's a shame because in the 80s and 90s, the sugar industry totally blamed weight gain on fat and made everyone totally afraid of fat. But fat is so wonderful. We love it. It's brain food. It's weight loss food. It's good for your skin. So I'm talking about things like avocado, nuts, nut butters, coconut oil, salmon, seeds like chia and pumpkin seeds. A lot of fat, really, you know, cooking your veggies and just being really liberal with your olive oils and your avocado oils. And then figure out what protein works for you. Some people need a lot. Some people need meat. Some people don't. Some people, you know, vegetarianism works really well for some people. Again, it's entirely up to your specific body. And then grains, figuring out what your relationship is with grains. So I do sort of dark leafies, colorful cruciferous. Under that, we have our fat, then our protein, and then fruit and grains. Fruit is wonderful, but you don't need to be eating it three times a day. It sort of gets lumped in with vegetables, and vegetables are far superior, although you should be eating fruit as well. And then grains, how much, what kind, do they have gluten, do they not have gluten, whole grains as much as possible. But again, experiment. And with a lot of my clients too, I talk about, like, see how you feel first thing in the morning and kind of retrace from there. How did you sleep? What did you have last night for dinner? And I like to sort of fine tune, like, you want to get up in the morning and feel great and not feel exhausted and not feel sluggish. So kind of fine tuning what you're eating to start your day a little bit better. Because when you wake up and you feel good, it's really easy to make good decisions. But if you're already waking up feeling constipated, feeling exhausted, your clothes are tight, and it's sort of like, whatever, I'll have a coffee, whatever, I'm going to have the croissant, I don't care, you know, versus like you feel nice, it's easier to make those nice choices. And the earlier you're making the better choices in the day, the better it is. And then finally, you want to make sure you're having balanced meals. So if we wanted to get technical, the days of like five mini meals or like snacking all day to keep your blood sugar up is out the window. We know that's not great for us. 2 to 3 really well-balanced meals a day should be all you need. And by balanced, I mean it needs to have protein, fat, fiber, and greens. And there's an amazing book out there by this woman, Kelly Levesque, called Body Love that I'm obsessed with. And she talks a lot about this stuff. She has these blood sugar balancing smoothies, but she's all the rage right now, and everything she's saying is so on point, and I love it. But that's a good way to learn more about this. And understanding that if you have that balance, it should buy you 4 to 6 hours before your next meal. You should be totally satiated. And if it's not, sort of play around. For me, I need a lot of fat. So much more than I thought I did. So much more than I was eating before. And then for me, I actually don't need to eat breakfast. I need to drink water. I do hot water and lemon and ginger and maybe some coconut oil. But I found that when I stopped forcing myself to eat breakfast, because that's what you should do, I actually felt better. My energy felt better. I felt clearer. My body felt better. And I was like, okay, huh, for some reason, this is what works for me. My mom, on the other hand, if she doesn't eat breakfast within like an hour, she's like a crazy person. Mm. And she's so fit and healthy. And like, that's her body. And of course, I grew up, and I'm an only child, super close to my mom. She's trying to do the best thing for me. Mm. And here it is, you know, you'd think you'd be similar to your family. Yeah, it's crazy. Not even my mom and I, and she can eat all the gluten all the live long day. I can't have any of it. Mm. So it really is up to you to kind of fine tune what your body needs.
Ah,
oh. Awesome.
Doesn't it make you just want to go to the farmer's market and buy all the greens?
Oh, yes.
I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, I'm going to go buy greens.
And it was interesting because when I was playing around, I had to do these different like smoothies and things to help heal my gut, and they didn't take, they were like weird powders that you put in, and I found on the days when I put raw kale in my smoothies, I would instantly be happier, and I was sort of like, whoa, this can't be real. So then I'd like do spinach, and I would like not have that boost. So once you start feeling good, it's amazing to sort of play around and notice how things really affect your mood. And then beyond that, you can get into like superfoods and like adaptogenic herbs, and all of a sudden it like feels really good to just be alive and in tune. Mm. And things like sweets and sugar and alcohol and all that stuff is just way less interesting, because most of the time it feels like I'm at that awesome party after 2 glasses of champagne. Like that's what my baseline is, versus like waiting to go to the party and have the 2 glasses of champagne and be like, oh, I'm happy now. Mm. Which I feel like we kind of, with stress and busy lives, can end up there.
That's great. Wow.
Wow. It's funny. It's hard because initially the idea of like giving up a lot of stuff, and I crowd out. It was like, try this instead. It's never restrictive unless you have an intolerance or something. But the more you clean your body out, it just feel so good to eat that way, then none of that stuff is attractive and your taste buds change. So when I do eat something really sweet, it's like I got slapped in the face a little bit. And I'm like, whoa, that's good. And like I feel in my body, like I get tingly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that makes me feel crazy. Like, and before, it's like, why would you want to go on stage feeling like that? Would you want to go into a meeting feeling like that or an audition? It's like, you know, people who get up, have coffee, have a carb-heavy breakfast, and then go try to audition and don't understand why they're so nervous or so antsy, where it's like if you had, you know, maybe a green tea, which is a cleaner form, and you had some fat, you had some protein, some greens, you're going in grounded, you're not going in so jittery. So I play around, especially with actors and performers, around what are you eating before auditions? Or me, and again, this could be transferable to anyone, what, before a big meeting, before whatever. You know, and understanding that, especially in a place like New York where we have seasons, summer, fall, winter, spring, you're going to need to be eating different things all the time. Your body's going to require different things. And the same as if you're in a show 8 times a week, your body's going to need something totally different than if you're just randomly auditioning or if you're writing a book. So really understanding that every day you have to be present and listen.
Oh, I love that. And I love also that we're doing this podcast going into fall and winter. Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga, talks about always things like incorporating all the fats and like the root veggies and the greens. This time of year specifically is so important.
Absolutely.
We don't want to be so dried out when everything around us is getting so dry. So like fats, fats, fats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if someone wants to find you because they've been so inspired and they're like, I need a little bit of what she's doing, how can someone work with you?
Check out my website. It is creativelynourishing.com. And my Instagram handle is the same.
I love following you on Instagram. Thank you.
You must follow her on Instagram to see, like, if you think like, well, I want to eat more healthy, but like healthy food doesn't taste good and doesn't look good. If you look at the pictures she posts on Instagram, your life will change. And all you'll want to do is eat kale.
And it can be delicious. I think people get nervous and feel like eating healthy has to be like boring and sucky. It's like, no, it can be amazing.
I love it. Thank you, Liana Nielsen, for being with us today. Create Friends, you definitely want to hit this girl up, whether it's to work with her or follow her online and get some more tidbits of just amazing ways you can change your life and just feel good, because that's what we're here for, to feel good.
We're here to feel good. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!